You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show right here on RBN. Today is Saturday, 18 September in the year of our Lord, 2021. Rick, we've got our first caller on the line.
No.
Hold on.
Okay. Don't you know that everybody's waiting breathlessly to hear what I'm going to say next? And this is only going to take a moment. I just want to finish this thought. On the brick scale, the way they do this is they put it on this funny little thing that looks like a tube. They put the juice from it, and then they watch how far the light bends. It bends the light, and how far it bends would be the sugar content. A normal beet would be 9 to 12% sugar. A Maryland beet is 12 to 16% sugar, and an apple comes in at 10 to 15. So my point here is the Maryland beets are as sweet as an apple, if not slightly more so. So if you grow Maryland beets and you cook them in olive oil with a little bit of sea salt, you really do have something that is very similar to a cooked apple in terms of sweetness. However, the nitric oxide levels are off the chart, and they make you feel like Wonder Woman or Superman, whichever one you might identify as. And so, our first caller is...
Our first caller is Dave in Nevada on line three. Good morning, Dave.
How are you doing today?
Doing good, buddy. How about yourself?
Not bad. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Bitcoin experience with you guys, and I went to another Bitcoin meeting, like one of my local meetups, and this lady, she was talking about she visited El Salvador, where they just made it where they just
tender.
Approved
money,
it's legal tender,
right,
so everyone has to accept it as payment. And she was saying that she was just relaying her experience about what people thought about Bitcoin. And she said it's still brand new there, and people don't understand it. They're just understanding how to download an app and buy the Bitcoin and use it. And that's the stage that they're at right now.
Well, Dave, I heard that Bukele is going to give every citizen like $30 worth, and I think that's to try to entice them to download the app. I think that's what that is.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's what she said as well. And and she was saying they're a little bit skeptical because it's still a relatively poor country.
Right.
So when they see... And she was saying that when they see a price fluctuation, like the way Bitcoin moves, it scares them, because she was saying that like $1 can buy them a meal in El Salvador. So when they see Bitcoin when it drops, it's scary to them because it's a lot of money for them.
Like you said, they don't understand it yet,
right.
Dave. You know, I think that when they figure out they can get debit cards that work the same as debit cards do at a bank, except for your Bitcoin account, when they understand that, yes, it makes big moves, but doesn't make any bigger moves than other coins or altcoins by percentage. You know, yeah, it's big numbers, but by percentage, it's the same as any others.
This would be an appropriate time for me to inject one thing, and that is that what we're going to see is that as this stuff gets gobbled up and people are sitting on it, you're going to see far smaller fluctuations in the value because the bid and ask thing isn't going to be working. So at some point, the stuff should become vastly more valuable, and the fluctuations should smooth out quite a bit.
Yeah, and you'll start having private transfers and stuff like that far exceed the bid price. You know,
right. That's
just going to happen.
Yeah, so I was just relaying what she was saying about her El Salvador experience, and a lot of it basically, you just have to realize these are in terms of banking, these are very primitive countries. They don't have. Right. I've never been there, so I can't really say. But
no, I haven't been there since '78, buddy.
Yeah. So I'm guessing they're still kind of primitive relative to what people understand in the United States in terms of like modernized banking, just in general.
Mm-hmm. I would say one thing too about that, and that is that. I'm not here to suggest that El Salvador accepting Bitcoin is the beginning of the Great Revolution. But what I would say is that it is a step in the right direction, and I think that this man has his country, the people, in his interests. I think this is obviously a move he's making on the part of the people, but I do think that. Other countries are going to follow suit, and I think people will get used to using this stuff very quickly. I hear in Africa it's a big deal that they are basically leading the way. You wouldn't think Africa would be at the top of any list when it comes to innovation, and yet when it comes to cryptos, I understand that it's more accepted and more used than it is here in the U.S.
Nigerian con men, they're going to accept anything,
Right. So I think that, what was I going to say? Well, I was actually looking at that, electricity prices around the world and some of the cheapest electricity prices are in Africa. Like they're around like mm-hmm. 1 to 3 cents, 1 to 3 cents per kilowatt compared to other places like that are 10 to 20 cents per kilowatt, which is a huge difference if we're talking about mining Bitcoin here. It's getting expensive just to mine it.
It works.
Let me interject one thought right there, and that is that of all the kilowatt hours that we create here, I want to say something like 20% of it is dumped. That is to say, it's created. You can't create exactly what is being used. You create more so that you can supply the demand, but then a lot of it has to be just dumped. And Bitcoin mining only uses, 1% or 1.5% of that which is being dumped. I'm not sure I remember that statistic.
Yeah, something like
probably
that.
It's a very small percentage of what's being thrown away. So these complaints about how we're wasting energy is a bunch of BS to prop up the dollar is what it is. It's what's the word I'm looking for? It's a con. They just don't want you buying the stuff.
Right.
Right. And China has made an argument that it hurts the environment. But most of their electric is coming from hydroelectric and coal plants. And again, it uses such an insignificant amount. And what China is really doing is clearing the way for their own digital coin and therefore you know, which won't have to be mined. It'll be issued by the government. And well, they're trying to get rid of the competition.
Yeah. I wouldn't call that a coin. I'd call that a yuan.
Well, that's what it is. It's digital yuan. And they're already doing it.
Yeah. Right.
But they don't want
competition. And they can print as much. Right. Go ahead, Dave. Please continue.
Okay, and so I also wanted to ask you about Ethereum. What you were just talking about, the coin burning.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna put some money into Ethereum, but you're talking about Ethereum 2.0, and there's also Ethereum Classic. Now, do you know anything about those other? Which those other two coins?
No, I know that for some reason they're the same price, and I'm not entirely certain. I haven't looked into what the difference is. I have purchased Ethereum, but having said that, I hear crazy things about Ethereum, and potential, for the future. And, let's see, Kathy Wood, who I think is a genius, is doing, I think 60% Bitcoin, 40% Ethereum. If I'm going to believe somebody about portfolio percentages, I would have a tendency to give her opinion a lot of thought.
I agree.
I don't know who that is, but I'm going to be putting some money into Ethereum anyways.
She's the CEO of ARK Invest. She is up there with Michael Saylor when it comes to.
Oh, okay.
He's on the same page with Saylor for MicroStrategies when it comes to innovation and the adoption of trustworthy cryptos. You know, not every coin out there is a good idea. I think a lot of them, you know, we could call shit coins, which they do. A lot of these things will never survive. They're just passing fancy. So, you know, I'm not giving you financial advice, but I'll be very, very careful. Try to stay with the more well-known, you know, things like, I don't believe in things like XRP and stuff like that. I don't know that there's a future for those things.
What do you think about ARK coin?
Oh, I actually don't know them. There's like a thousand. I don't know them. I think you should do.
But you were talking about ARK Investments. I thought you were talking about the coin ARK as well. I think
ARK Investment is a major. It's another investment firm which is employing cryptocurrencies on behalf of clients. So you know, they're not just sticking you with the U.S. dollar. They're giving you options.
Right. Right. Okay. So that's pretty much all I wanted to cover, and I just wanted to see what your take was on where we stand in the world with Bitcoin.
I would say one more thing. There are two very distinct kinds of videos out there that you can watch. One is basically an investment type things where you'd be talking to Max Kaiser, Kathy Wood, Michael Saylor, who are talking about storing wealth for the future. The other ones are basically geared toward trading in and out, which I think is going to go by the wayside when the supply dries up. You're just not going to get away with it anymore. But
well,
you know,
agree.
Things like Satoshi Stacker and MM Crypto, I'd say Crypto News Alerts would be basically a very good place to look for the latest news, and they really don't necessarily they are not a trading platform, but some of them are. And I would say this, while you could trade in and out of things like Bitcoin for the moment, at some point it's just going to get real dicey, and I just can't recommend it. If you can lay your hands on any portion of a Bitcoin or an Ethereum coin, I would probably have a tendency not to sell it until you figure out where the price will go.
I'm just buying on dips. That's all I'm doing.
Right. That's a good idea.
Oh, that's
what
smart.
Do they call that? Stacking satoshis. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm buying on dips, and I'm being pretty patient about it because I know it's still the price still moves up and down a lot. Yeah.
Well, that being the case, you might want to watch the Fibonacci channels because anytime that Bitcoin has gotten most of the time it gets toward the golden pocket, the upper Fibonacci channel, and you'll see this when you look at some of these people that trade. When it gets near the golden pocket, it drops, and so that it just oscillates like that, except for a couple of times when it has shot straight through the pocket and gone up like fivefold all at once. And
right.
that's the kind of thing. I mean, if it hits the golden pocket and you sell and it goes 5x, you're kind of screwed. So,
yeah, you're pulling your hair out.
Well, you are. Yeah.
Well, the key to that is don't sell at all.
That's what right. that would be my take all. On it. That's what I would do.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate all your insight again. Thank you.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much. Next, Rick, we go to Tom in Utah on line 5. Good morning, Tom.
Are you ready for a bumpy ride?
Well, not really.
Oh, and I do not want to hear about me. I want you to do something.
I know nobody wants to, but the fact is that is the reservoir, the sea of disease.
All right.
You know, I began my.
I don't want to be rude, but not, you know, there has never been a vegetarian society where the people actually lived that way long term and were healthy. Don't you think that there's a possibility that, what do they call it, the golden mean, you know, to try to keep this whole thing balanced? Don't you think that...
Well, let me interrupt you, Rick.
Well, I was done.
In 91, I had to readjust my faith because of my experience in work. I worked in a sea of disease, the hospital.
Well, you said that?
I worked with sick people all the time, touched them, handled them, yep. Sat on the same toilet seat they sat on, never worried about bringing that disease home to my wife or children. Why? Right. Because like I was beginning to open up on the Farron's show today, these organisms that cause disease in man do not survive in oxygen. They do not survive in sunlight. They can't stand the salts and acids on your skin or the lice enzymes of your saliva. The only way disease moves is in a package of fat, flesh, and fluid. Now, Lori, mm-hmm. She went to Florida, right? Do you think she got sick by being in a crowd of people that were allegedly sick? The fact is, no. We are the most sanitary animal on the planet. We are the prime creation of God. He created us sanitary and aseptic. So, you don't get sick by doing as he tells you to take care of the sick. I took the hands and the bodies and the heads of people sick in my hands all the time. So I will tell you, God is right. Man is wrong. And the microscope never lies. The problem is the man behind the microscope is worried about keeping his job, but the man behind him is worried about bringing in the grants. So they will never tell you that as soon as you pull a pathogen out of its fomite package, fat, flesh, and fluid, body fluid, blood, it begins to die because it's now exposed to sunlight, oxygen, and especially oxygen. So Lori didn't get sick by mingling with people. She got sick by infusing herself with those things that carry sickness. It's a hard lesson to hear, but right now we can't afford. I have my friends dying around me because they've infused their body with the blood and fat of a creature called a vaccine. And people don't understand. It's not the mercury. It's not those other additives that are the real problem. It is the blood. And that's it.
All right. We got to wait. Thank you for your call, sir. We had other callers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show, folks. Today is Saturday, 18th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2021. Rick and I are taking callers right now. Our next caller is Patricia in Florida on line 3.
Hi.
Good morning, Patricia.
Hi.
Or good afternoon. No, it's still morning there, isn't it? No, it's afternoon.
Oh, it is. You're right. Okay. The reason I'm calling is it's come to my attention this past week that farmers are being paid 1.5 times the value of their crops to burn them. Now, you may have discussed this earlier before that I missed, but I want to know.
No, you're correct.
What?
I said you are correct. Actually, they're disking them in. I guess some crops they might be burning. But
I want to know who authorized this. Who authorized this? And we need to change it immediately. So we need
to
have
agriculture is who's doing it.
Who authorized them to do this?
I'm assuming Secretary Ag
doing it.
What?
They are doing it with or without your permission. I'm sure it's your government, your elected officials. However,
but we need
largest,
to get on this immediately.
The largest owner. Well, it's been going on for a while, but the largest farm landowner in the United States is Bill Gates. He's taking it all offline. And the second largest farmland owner in the United States is China, and they're taking that off.
Yep.
And then you can add in what you just talked about, which is the destruction of crops intentionally. And, you know, when I say that these people need to put your food supply, I am quite serious. We're doing it right in front of your face.
Well, we need to en masse from all over the country, need to get on this and get it reversed for the people, for the other however percent, 80% or 70% of landowners. This has to be stopped.
Well,
and we're paying China. Are you
talking about it? But I'm not sure who gives a damn.
Here's the thing, Patricia. You really can't blame the farmers because they're being paid to destroy their crops than they are to get them to market. You know,
there's
Department of Agriculture is paying them more.
Well, at a time like this, it needs to be addressed by the Congress and the Senate.
Well, I agree with you. But remember, the Congress is in on the program to cut the population of the United States down by 70%. They want us dead. That's the bottom line.
I understand that. But we have enough people that are patriots in Congress to reverse this.
I would argue with you there. I just don't think that's true anymore.
Oh, man. We've got to do something. There's got to be an outcry.
Let me ask you a very practical question. How are you going to outcry? How are you going to communicate with your fellow Americans and get them to rise up and do this and that and the other thing? My opinion
through
is
RBN,
yours.
Places like RBN.
I don't think the listenership there will be sufficient to achieve your means. However, let me ask you this. On a practical note, are you gardening? Do you have a garden?
I can't. It's raining and I can't hear you. Sorry.
Are you growing your own food? Are you gardening?
Oh, yeah. I'm experimenting.
Oh,
I'm in Florida. It's easy. We have to, you know.
Well, I think that's about all the better you're going to do. I really do. I'm not being glib here. I'm not being a smartass. I'm saying that I don't think it's going to go any further than that.
We need to arouse people to this. This is outrageous. In the old days, it was okay. But now there's no excuse for this. And we need to have an outcry. Now, are the people listening to this today?
I'll tell you when there's going to be an outcry. There's going to be an outcry, Patricia, when people are watching their children and grandchildren starve to death. And,
that'll
of course,
be too
then
late.
It's going to be too late. That's right.
Yeah,
then it'll
it's
be,
gonna
too,
be
late.
Way too late. Well,
and the only thing we can do about it, I didn't mean to interrupt, Rick.
No, it's just I think you, please finish what you were going to say.
Well, what I was going to do is reinforce to Patricia and our listeners that the only thing that I believe we can logically do about it is store up food and grow our own food and preserve that food, for our own families and communities. That's really the only thing I believe we can do.
Well, let me reiterate what I said earlier. I think sometimes people just don't, they're not picking up what I'm putting down. When I said that you're going to learn to grow your own food and get close to God, and you're going to help your family and your neighbors because that's about all the better you're going to do during your lifetime, I am taking into consideration everything you're saying, and I don't think you're going to win this fight. I don't know that's the case. We could win the fight, but in the meantime, just in case things go the way I suspect they're going to go, don't you think that it would be good to put yourself in a position to help your friends and family? That may be all you're ever allowed to do on this earth.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I think we should, just like we're standing up on other issues with the vaccine and so forth, and Rand Paul, people like him, there's plenty of them in Congress, and they can make it known and go on the evening news.
Well,
if they'll even let
Well, here's the thing, Patricia. The vaccines are affecting people right now. They can't see 2 months down the road when 90% of the shelves are bare instead of just 20%. Right now, it's tolerable. Pat, you can hang on through the break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Call-in number is 512-248-8252.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back to the final half hour of the Rural Survival Show right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Saturday, 18 September in the year of our Lord, 2021. Right now we're talking to Patricia in Florida. We're going to let her wrap up her comments. And after that, we're going to go to Art in Georgia on line three. Okay, Patricia, was there anything else you wanted to talk about, ma'am?
I just want to get people to get activated about this issue because it's unacceptable.
I agree.
And we've got to get on it soon.
Well, it might well be too late. And this is the reason. Okay? A lot of this crop destruction, and I think most of it actually, has already been done. This is going to be a rough winter, no matter how you look at it, in so many ways. And I'm not just talking out my butt here. You know, we're supposed to have a very cold winter. Everybody's already talking about supply disruptions and food shortages for this winter. It's just that people are more concerned with Dancing with the Stars or what the Kardashians are doing than paying attention to what is going to really get them. My only advice, Patricia, is stock up on what you can now while stuff is relatively plentiful and relatively cheap, storable food. You know, I don't know how big a garden you've grown, but, you know, make sure you can it or preserve it in some way. And I don't recommend freezing it unless you've got a solar system or something like that to keep those freezers going, especially in Florida. So that's really the only advice I've got.
In Florida, I recommend people use the vacuum drying. Because even though it's humid, if you can double bag them and so forth, which I heard yesterday somewhere. But people need to know that they can keep sprouting seeds of certain kinds. You can buy them in small amounts, but you need to have those because you can live on those. Ann Wigmore, many, many years ago, and I'm talking over 50 years ago, I used to listen to her, go to her place in Boston, and she would recommend sprouting and living on sprouts, indoor gardening. And it's still possible.
Patricia, I mean, real quick, where are you in Florida approximately? Don't give me your street address or nothing, but what county or city do you live in?
West Central, south of Tampa.
Central Florida? That's where my wife and I grew up.
Not Central. South of Tampa.
Oh, south of Tampa. Okay. Yeah, down there around Cape Coral and all that. Yeah. I understand where you live at. You can grow almost year round there.
That's a great thing. You can grow every day. Yep. Even the herbs and the celery that I never thought you could grow in Florida, if you grow them under trees, you can do it all summer long.
Yes, ma'am.
You won't have tomatoes or anything that relies on flowering because flowers over 90 degrees, they don't produce flowers. But after that, the plant's still alive, and you've got a head start on the next season. I have discovered all kinds of peppers will grow year-round as long as they're heavily mulched. I'm talking 10 to 12 inches of mulch around them. And it can be oak leaves. Don't let them tell you not to use oak leaves. They're wonderful.
All right. Yeah. Well, Pat, Patricia, I mean, we thank you for your call, but we got other callers waiting.
Yeah. Okay, bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we go to Art in Georgia on line 5. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, guys. If you'll bear with me, this goes to what the previous caller was talking about, farmers destroying crops.
Right.
That's not true. Okay?
Well, I've coming seen a lot directly of videos from it, Art.
Hold on. If you'll bear with me, I'm going to dump a little bit of information here, and then because I want to hear your response to this.
All right.
Peterson Farms Brothers, this is a farm out in Kansas. This is a family farm in Kansas. Now, these people know what they're talking about when it comes to farming regulations and what's happening. And here is what they have said. This is their official statement. This is also a commercial farm, by the way, folks. So if anybody knows, these folks know. A rumor has been floating around social media that farmers are getting paid $3,000 an acre by the government to destroy their crops. This rumor started because a video was posted on TikTok by some farmers as a joke. The rumor is false. Now, there has been the argument, well, what about being paid not to plant? Here's what they said to that. There is what they call prevent planting, but that's not what it is. That's not what people, that's not true. What they're talking about is these are people who are taking advantage of failure policies where if a crop fails, you're covered by farmers so that if you have a failure in crop, they can cover that failure. But that's not what's being talked about here. The other thing was Bill Gates and all the land he owns. Let's keep in mind, folks, there are 900 million acres of farmland in the United States. Bill Gates only owns 300,000. That's only 0.0003 of all the farmland in the United States, which, by the way, 97% of all farms in this country are family farms, not big corporate agriculture.
All right. So let's stop spreading lies. This is interesting, but are you suggesting that there is no food shortage and there isn't going to be?
I'm not saying there's not a food shortage. I'm saying that the talk about farmers being paid to destroy crops is a lie.
Okay, good. I'm glad you called, Art.
And if that's the case, then the food shortage, we would probably have to blame on the supply side. COVID nonsense.
There you go. That's it right there in a nutshell. The COVID supply line is what has happened here. COVID has damaged the supply line, and there's currently a drought going on. Things don't want to grow when there's a drought. Where I live here in Georgia, this is a big farming community around here. We grow a buttload of corn that's used for feed, for livestock and stuff, and not one farmer around here is being paid to destroy his crop.
I am so glad to hear that, Art. I am truly glad to hear that. I mean, that makes me feel so much better, truly. Art, I got a question for you, and you obviously will know the answer, because I don't, because here there's no row cropping. But have they done away with CRP payments now?
You'll have to explain to me what a CRP payment is.
Where they pay the farmers to let the ground go fallow instead of planting?
No. The reason why these farmers, now here's the thing with this. They're talking about, now that you've explained, I know what you're talking about, paying them not to grow, to let their crops, their fields go fallow. The reason why these farmers are getting the money that they're getting is because for some reason they were not able to get a crop in time before weather and seasonal changes would have destroyed the crops anyway. One of the big problems we've had here in Georgia has been this continuous nonstop freaking rain that we've had all throughout the spring, so farmers could not get their crops in. Why? Because you can't sow seed when the ground is a swamp. Your seed just rots. So these farmers did get paid, but this is where another rumor gets started. Oh, they got paid not to plant. No, they got paid because they couldn't get their crop in because of too much rain.
All right. Well, here in the Boot Hill of Missouri, now I'm talking 10 years ago at least, maybe more. I mean, there were fields getting CRP payments where, you know, you had 3-inch trees growing in them, and people still, you know, we're getting paid not to plant in those fields. That's what I was talking about.
What were those 3-inch plants would be my question. What were the 3-inch plants?
Oak trees, maple trees, stuff like that.
I'd almost be willing to bet you that was land that was set for timber and not a
No, they weren't planted trees. I know the difference between brush and planted trees.
Oh, they weren't planted. Okay. Well, that I can't tell you. I have no idea about that because we haven't seen none of that around here.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
That I'm aware.
I am glad.
You know, if they were doing it out there, I'd like to know why they were doing it. If they were getting paid not to plant, I'd like to know why. I'd like to know how that came about because I've never heard of that before, at least not around here.
The program was called CRP. Now, I don't know what that stood for, but that was the program. That was what payments were called, was CRP. I know that.
CRP crops is a land conservation program administered by the Farm Service Agency in exchange for a yearly rental payment. So they're not being paid not to plant. What they're trying to do is they're trying to conserve the soil and their environment, and they pay the farmers. Literally, the Farm Service Agency is renting that land from the farmer for more than what he would make if he planted a crop. So that's not being paid not to plant. That's being paid by the land conservation agencies.
Okay. Well, for like I said, there was a lot of that going on down the Boot Hill of Missouri. But like I said, that was 10, maybe 15 years ago, the last time I had any contact with that. But
well, here's what it says. Farmers enrolled in the program agree to remove environmentally sensitive land from agricultural production to plant species of plants that will improve the environmental health and quality. So it actually is a land conservation environmental program. Not, not designed to remove food, but designed to save land.
Can I inject one practical note here? And that is that whether or not farmers are being paid not to plant or whatever it is, if the food isn't getting where it's supposed to be going, because there's a problem with transportation, and I'm sure that that's a lot easier to create than a fake food shortage, you're still going to get hungry. You still have a fiduciary responsibility to find food or to manifest food for your family. That's still your problem.
Well, the food's out there. It's just getting it from point A to point B, and that is a lot of that was brought on by the disruption in the food supply thanks to the COVID lockdowns, shutdowns, people being out of work.
Well,
when you ain't got people to work, you can't,
there was a lot of
you know,
this situation where food didn't get where it was supposed to go, so it spoiled or had to be destroyed. That is still
there
a problem for the consumer.
And the government pays the farmers for those crops that are being destroyed because they can't get them delivered to market. There's a big difference right there.
Hey, Art, this is Tim. Buddy, I'm going to let you go because we got other callers trying to get in. Everybody always waits till the end of the show to call. But I'm going to try to get in at least one more caller. All right?
Have a good. But
thank you, Art. I'm so glad you called. Next, we're going to Paul in California on line 3. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, well, Art was exactly the reason that I called, and I just wanted to say thank you, Art, for that. There, right. I mean, we have to be careful. You know, I don't know. There's something that's supposedly in the Bible about rumors. I don't know exactly. I'd have to hear it again. But
reported on five different from five different sources, I start tending to believe it's true.
Right. This is what they want, though. This is the problem. There's a lot of things that are, I would call, allowed to be floated around out there, and it fits with the overall, you know, narrative, shall we say, of doom and gloom. You know, they want us to be apprehensive and fearful. They want to cultivate a sense of helplessness and learned helplessness. The previous caller, I agree with her in many ways that we, you know, we have to you know, stay strong and cultivate a sense of outrage. There's no doubt about that. But I think that one thing we can be sure of, and I highly recommend everybody to watch a movie called Thrive. It's coming around again. I think there's actually a Thrive, too. It's excellent, and it sort of helps you to get your mind right and the perspective right, that we live in a world of abundance. And we have indeed created abundant ways to take care of each other. And they're going to try to do everything they can at every possible, you know, checkpoint and choke point and lever to interrupt that. But I, in the end, I don't want to say I'm optimistic, but I just have a feeling that it's going to come apart. It's already starting to come apart. I don't think it's going to last. And I think that, you know, they don't have enough police and military to do really what it is they would dream of. I think that just like in Europe and France, for example, you know, police will lay down their shields and refuse to participate. And you'll have things like that occurring here. Just like healthcare workers are quitting rather than taking the jab, you're going to see that sort of resistance and behavior across society. And there will be some disruptions. But I think in the end, this whole thing is going to collapse like a house of cards. I just hope it's sooner rather than later. But I believe people like Art and what he says are very important.
Oh, well, I absolutely agree.
Let me inject this one thing. It's the timing. The timing is the whole issue. You may well be right, and that would be nice. The problem is, what if you aren't? So what I'm suggesting here is that we're using the Blaise Pascal theory, where you're going to go ahead and buy yourself the insurance of being self-reliant, being able to grow your own food. And then, at that point, if something happens and we actually wind up not going from the frying pan into the fire, what's the worst that's going to happen? You've got some skills and some food. I don't want people to wait for a white knight, not a white knight, a knight
no, no.
on a white
yeah.
horse. Any color knight will do for me. But just to be clear, but you know, you're still going
right.
to have to bust a move. You're going to have to bust a move just in case you don't get exactly what you want. And then again, I mean, you know, what if things are really, really bad for about 5 years before they turn around? And you know, you want to
no,
be able to
no,
weather that.
I'll let you go after this. But yeah, nobody could disagree with that advice. That's all good advice. I just wanted to add my perspective on the kind of things that Art was talking about, and you know, have a look at the bigger picture. But yes, what you guys are doing by encouraging people to grow their own food and so forth is a very valuable thing, and I appreciate it. And I'll let you take another caller.
All right, thank you, Paul. Please call back anytime, and that goes for Art too. Next, we go to Kenny in Texas on line 9. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. Prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I did
yes,
just go along with what you just
I
talking
guess that
about.
Was what I was, yeah, that was my, yeah. Yeah, that,
yeah,
was,
that was the word you were looking for.
Yeah, those are the words.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that my grandpa, not me, my grandpa and my dad, they farmed 2,000 acres in Colorado. Grandpa had that farm from the early 1800s up. They sold it in the 70s. And I was real young in the 70s, and Dad would talk to his buddies and talk about why they give up the farm, and the government would come by because there was such a they growed wheat, they ranched and they growed wheat and food for the cows, you know, and the government would come by and pay them not to grow wheat, or pay them not to grow wheat to help keep the prices up, but they also the ag man would come around, and if there was, say, some spillage out by a silo or something and there's some wheat popped up, they had to mow it down because that was breaking the agreement. But a lot of it was to, back in the 60s and such, was to help keep the prices up because there was such an abundance of, you know, of crop. And that's really all I wanted to add to that. I just something I knew about, had heard about, my dad talking about, Grandpa. Anyway, that's about all I want to say about that.
Well, Kenny, we appreciate your call, buddy.
Hey, y'all have a good day.
You too, sir. All right, folks, we don't got time for any more callers. Rick, what prayer do you have picked out for us today?
Did you want to do something other than Michael? Is that what you're suggesting here?
No, Michael works good.
Yeah, it does. All right, yeah. Because I feel as though I'm being besieged by evil, even though I'm being reassured by our callers, I'm paranoid by nature. So, Holy Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all of the other evil spirits who wander the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Buddy, I appreciate that. Very, very appropriate, as always. Okay, folks, we're getting ready to wrap it up. One thing I'd like to say is we are fully stocked on the mosquito netting mask. If you want one, just go to ruralsurvival.life. That's ruralsurvival.life. You'll see the link on the left-hand side of the page up near the top. It says mask right on it. We also have our Survival Library flash drives, which is almost 6 gigabytes of do-it-yourself manuals and military manuals and stuff like that. Tons of information. Rick, you'll be getting yours in the mail about Tuesday. So, folks, if you're interested in any of our products, take a look. That's ruralsurvival.life. Okay, I got that one out of the way. Rick, anything else you wanted to say, buddy?
Well, just one thing. I really wanted to talk about my no-till experiment that's going on, and I'm having some success with it. I know that there are, no-till Nazis out there who just don't think that there's any other way to do things. I think you've got some choices, but as far as limiting your inputs, that would be fertilizer and all that kind of thing. As far as limiting inputs that cost money, this would certainly serve you well. There is a YouTube out there by Josh Satin, S-A-T-T-I-N, called the Deep Compost No-Till System. You might want to look at that. It's not a very big video, but it's pretty cool. It's how to start a garden in the middle of nowhere with practically no effort, and it's virtually weed-free, and the inputs are severely limited, which might be a real good thing in any kind of a crisis. That would be what I want to say.
Okay. Something to look into, folks. In fact, I'm going to look into it. Boy, I wish I could get out there and play in the garden. I miss it. I really do. But anyway.
Scooter.
Yeah, I've got an ATV, but that's still got to be on my hands and knees to do it. But I ain't whining. It's just the way it is.
Well, that's how gardening is, man. You're on your hands and knees. It's called get dirty. That's what it is.
The getting dirty part don't bother me. It's the pain that bothers me.
Oh. But, grow opioids.
Yeah.
You should grow poppies.
Don't get me going.
Yeah. That's going to work.
I'm still considering getting my doctor to sign off on that marijuana card. I just don't think it'll do me any good.
Just give it a crank. I mean, most patriots are not in favor of government intervention when it comes to marijuana for medical use. They agree that that should be, what do they call it, right to try, something like that? You should try, right to try.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's it for us for today, folks. I hope you'll join us same time, same channel next week. Please pray for our country, folks. It needs it. And I'll be praying for you and yours. Bye-bye, folks.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.